brand new year coming. We have to deal with last year before we can have a happy new year. And this tells us how to deal with last year. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Father, as we start this new year, help us to deal with the past year and the years before. Help us to unload our burden to you, to deal with these things so that we can move forward in newness of life. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we begin a new year, we need to learn how to put the old year and the old years behind us. If you're carrying baggage, and when I'm talking about baggage, I'm talking about the loads of life that have been laid upon you by just life happening, we live in a fallen world, and others hurt us. And we hurt others as well. And if you're still hanging on to those things, you are not going to have a happy new year. You're going to have a year just as bad as last year, maybe worse. Dave and I go calling most Saturdays. And this Saturday, we came across a man, and it just broke my heart. He came to the door. He said, nobody else lives here, it's just me. You don't have to worry about me. Just forget about everything. We're all trying to tell people, number one, we'd love to have you come to the church, but most importantly, we'd love to help you know the Lord as your Savior. This man had no joy, no hope, no purpose, no direction. Folks, it's sad for me to say, I know a lot of people like that. They're looking at a new year, but they're not looking with expectancy. They're not looking this year is going to be better because they're so weighed down with the things of the past. I just want to encourage you. It's only as we forgive others and forgive ourselves, we do the things that need to be done to get the load off. You can't have joy in this new year coming when you're weighted down with all the things that have gone wrong. Some people carry these burdens all their life. It starts in their childhood and it never gets dealt with. It's a burden that's always with them, always there. They don't feel forgiven and they don't forgive others. Folks, this is important. If we're going to make peace with our past and with our relationships of the past, there's only one place to find that. And that's in your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't know the Prince of Peace, you'll never have peace. This world, again, because it's fallen, because it's a sinful world we live in, it's going to hurt you. It's not going to just hurt you once or twice. It's going to hurt you all the days of your life. And you've got to learn how to forgive. Not just those that hurt you, but how to forgive yourself for hurting someone else. Some of us have brought crushing pain into somebody else's life that we love dearly. And the only way to deal with that is to learn how to forgive yourself, how to move forward. Thank God that because of Jesus Christ, because of our relationship with Him, we can not only be forgiven for whatever we have done, but through His strength, we can learn how to forgive others for whatever they have done to us. And if you learned the lessons today, I want to talk to you about an absolutely to recover from past hurts, you hurting someone or someone hurting you, you've got to take it to the Lord. If you don't take it to the Lord, it'll never be dealt with properly. So if something happened to you in your youth, in your past, in some of your relationships over the years, some people are still hurting today from a girl or a boy that they dated way back in junior high or high school that broke off a relationship and never explained why. Folks, you can carry that into your 60s, into your 70s. Some people are hurting today because one of their school teachers years ago in the third grade or the fifth grade said, "Johnny, you're never going to amount to anything." Folks, that can stain you and that can stay with you unless you learn how to forgive those things. It's like a weight on your back and you just can't get past it. Today, I want to help you learn how to get past it. Because as a Christian, again, if you're here today and you've never yet received Christ, this message probably isn't going to help you a lot unless you turn to Christ, because you're not going to have the power to do this. It's only in a living relationship with Jesus Christ that he gives us the power to forgive. And he gives us the power to forgive because we have been forgiven. And it's so important to keep those things in order. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, the Lord tells us, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Paul's talking here about getting yesterday off your back. He's talking about recovery, recovering the joy and the peace and the hope that you had before. Folks, this is so important because many people never learn how to do this. They're all run down. They're looking at a new year and saying it's going to be awful. It's going to be just like last year. Because instead of rejoicing in the freedom in Christ and the forgiveness in Christ, they're carrying last year's and the year before still on their back. You know, the Lord encourages us to cast all of our care on him because he cares for us. The sad thing is, it's like a story of a man going down the road of the cart. He's got a little horse in front and he's going down the road in the cart and he sees an older gentleman over here with a huge pack on his back. And the man says, "Sir, would you like a ride?" And he says, "Sure, I would appreciate a ride." So the old boy jumps up on the wagon, and he's still got the backpack on. And the young man says, "Sir, why don't you throw your backpack in the trailer?" And the man refuses to take off the backpack. Folks, that's what our problems of the past do to us. Instead of resting and relaxing, the weight of that will crush you. Newspapers sometimes make mistakes. And I know most of us don't read newspapers like we used to. We used to, every day, we got the Saginaw News. That was important, man. When I was a paper boy, I think I was about 11 years old, and I missed a customer. And she was a little bit older lady. She was probably in her 70s, which is younger than me now. But she was about 70. And I got to her house to return the paper and said, "Ma'am, I'm really sorry I missed your paper." And she said, "Son, don't you realize we're right on the brink of nuclear war? I need my paper." Well, nuclear war hasn't hit yet, but the paper used to be extremely important to people. Not so much today, but it was. But newspapers make mistakes. The sad thing is sometimes the correction of the mistake actually makes the mistake worse. I'll just give you an example of that. Some of you remember Lee Iacocca. He used to be the general manager or the president of Chrysler Corporation. Well, the newspaper was doing an article on Lee Iacocca, and instead of writing Lee Iacocca's name, they wrote Lee Iacucu. And they realized they had made a mistake, so they made a correction the next week, and they said it's not Lee Iacucu, it's Lee Iacaca. And so the second choice was worse than the first choice. Folks, when we try to get past the hurts we have in life, instead of choosing God's way of forgiveness, we choose bitterness or anger or wrath the correction is worse than the problem. And that's something you have to realize. God says the anger of man does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. God does not want you as a Christian going through all the days of your life bitter and angry and vengeful. He wants you to go through with a light heart. Everything anybody's ever done to me has been forgiven. Everything I've ever done to anybody else, I've tried to make it right as I could, and I've forgiven myself. Folks, you're free to move into a new year with a hope. Man, I'm free. I'm light. I can move forward. But the Bible teaches us if we're to recover and experience that kind of freedom, it can only be done through obedience to His word. He tells us to forgive, not to try to get even. So we have to get those weights off our back. Whether it's somebody you hurt or somebody that hurt you, you've got to give it to the Lord. You've got to deal with the person if that's going to be beneficial. I'll just tell you the truth. Sometimes trying to make peace with the person that's hurt you or that you've hurt, sometimes it makes things worse instead of better. You're going to have to pray for wisdom whether you should go to the person to try to make it right. If you find out from the Lord, no, going to that person is only going to make it worse. And I got to tell you the truth, sometimes it does. Then you do what's called an empty chair get together. You take an empty chair, you put it on the table opposite yourself, you write down what the grievance was, you explain it to the person, you confess it to God, you tell the empty chair person, I forgive you entirely. It's over. And you forgive yourself. Then you're free to move forward. So many people, because maybe the person that hurt you has been dead 20 years. Folks, you can't go back and talk to that person. They're gone. But you can do it with an empty chair. Why is forgiveness so important? Number one, it's important for us to forgive others who hurt us because our God has forgiven us. If you are in Christ today, if you have received Jesus Christ personally, do you know how many sins are on your record right now? I hope you can hold up a zero sign. God has forgiven every sin you have ever done in Christ. It's behind you as long as you've done what? As long as you've confessed it and repented of it. Christians can have sin that will mar their relationship. When I get to heaven, it's going to be zero. Here, if I don't make it right with the Lord and right with others, I've got things that are separating me from my God. And that's why I don't have peace. Peace isn't having everything in order. Peace is a person. And the Bible says in Amos 3:3, two can't walk together lest they be agreed. And God says, don't get bitter, don't get angry, don't get vengeful, forgive. And I'm not willing to forgive. Folks, I've got a wedge between me and my God, not just between me and the other person, but between me and my God. And if He is the God of peace, as the Word of God says He is, if there's a wedge between me and the God of peace, guess what? I don't have any peace. And I see so many people today that have no peace in their heart whatsoever. And most of the time it's because of this very thing. So, what's the purpose of forgiveness? Why does God demand, doesn't request, He commands us to forgive others just as we've been forgiven by God. It's so important. So to get yesterday, last year, the year before, all the years of your life off your back, so you can enter this new year refreshed and in peace in your heart. In Romans chapter 12, verse 18, it tells us, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I can't force another person to live at peace with me. I can't do that. That's their decision. But I can choose to live at peace with them. I can choose not to be angry and bitter and vengeful and wanting to get even all the time. Do you know what destroys marriages? One of the main things is an unforgiving heart. They hurt me. They said something I didn't like. They did something I didn't like. And instead of forgiving and moving forward, I'm going to hold that against them. That's one. You get up to three and you're in trouble. And it doesn't take very long in a marriage to get past three, does it? All of us offend each other. You put two sinners together in one place, what do you got? You got trouble. And you married a sinner, and so did they. And you have to understand, in order to have a meaningful relationship and peace with anyone, we have to be at peace with our Lord. And in order for that to happen in our Christian lives, we have to get rid of the turmoil and the resentment so that we can walk in the peace of God. The past wants to control you. The past wants to give you no peace and no hope and no joy. So we have to deal with the past. Forgiveness is so important because our God has forgiven us. In Colossians 3, verse 13, he says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." No matter what you've done to me or I've done to you, it's nowhere near comparing what we have done to our Lord. We brought great heartache to him. Every single person in this room, we've hurt the Lord. We've hurt our relationship, and the Lord just keeps right on forgiving us. All I have to do, and it's so simple, every time I hurt my Lord, 1 John 1:9, this is a verse you better have memorized. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, we confess those to the Lord and we confess to others. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He'll forgive our sins and he'll cleanse us from all the unrighteousness. So that what? So we don't just keep doing it. Folks, it's so important for you to understand. If you'll honestly confess your sin to your Lord, he'll forgive you every time. How many times will he forgive you? I got to tell you, he's probably forgiven me a million times since I've been a Christian. A million times since I've been a pastor. Yes, pastors sin. Husbands sin, wives sin, children sin. It's part of us. And every time I ask him, he forgives me. We should be the same way with everyone else. If you compare the problems anybody's brought into your life with the problems that we brought into our Lord's life, do you know it was because of me that Jesus Christ had to bear his cross? It was because of me and my sin that they plucked the Lord's beard out, because they did. I know you see the picture of the Lord on the cross with a beautiful beard. No, they ripped it out. His face was a bloody pulp when he was on that cross. The Bible says he was so disfigured. He was whipped with cat o' nine tails. He was so disfigured. The Bible says you couldn't tell if it was a man or a half a beef up on that cross. Folks, that's how bad he was. When we look at the cross, we see a man with a loincloth and he's got a little drip of blood coming from the crown of thorns. He was beaten so you couldn't tell who it was or what it was. That was because of me. That was because of you. On that cross, he bore all our sins. The only perfect man that ever lived wound up bearing all my sin and all yours. Nobody has ever been mistreated the way he was. But what did Jesus say on the cross? In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, I want you to get the picture. He's been beaten to the point where he couldn't even carry the cross for about two-thirds of the trip. Somebody else had to carry it. He was so weak and so bloody. Jesus looked down on that crowd of people that were crucifying him, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And he divided up his clothes by casting lots. That's the Lord we serve. And that's the way we ought to try to be. Anybody here do that perfectly? I know I don't. I try, but there are times when I'll carry that bitterness. And as long as I carry that bitterness, I have no peace. That bitterness, that anger, that rage can become more important to me than my relationship with Jesus Christ. I quoted to you Amos 3:3, and it's another verse you really ought to get down. Two cannot walk together lest they be agreed. And God is not going to agree with Jerry Larkin when he's mad at his wife, mad at his children, mad at his boss, angry about this and bitter and wanting to get revenge. There'll be no peace. There'll be no walking together. There'll be no joy. And I got to tell you, I can't tell you how many people I know that have no peace, no joy, no hope, because they will not forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. God has chosen to forgive us anytime in honest repentance we'll confess and repent. Anytime he'll forgive it. But we like to put little rules. When you ask me to forgive you, I'll forgive you if you jump through 32 hoops. I've got these things that you've got to do. Folks, that doesn't work. The Bible says because God has forgiven you, you must forgive, excuse me, others. How many others? All others. Is that a big job? Boy, that's an impossible job. We can't do it. But God can, and he will. When you're having a hard time forgiving somebody, it's usually because you don't feel forgiven yourself. Or you've forgotten how much God has forgiven you. You know, when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. What he was saying there in essence is that they just realized what this is going to do to them. They would have never mistreated me. Folks, when you mistreat somebody else, Jesus said, what you've done unto one of the least of these, you've done it to me. When we mistreat our mate, when we mistreat our children, when we mistreat our boss or our boss mistreats us, they've done it to the Lord. And if they really knew what that would cost them, they wouldn't do it. Because they're causing pain and suffering and sorrowing. We have to understand this. It's because when we experience the forgiveness of God for ourselves, then we can pass it to the next person. And maybe our relationships will start to heal instead of getting worse. We need to learn that resentment doesn't work. Resentment is, you hurt me, and I've heard this from several people. I will never forgive you. Wow. Never. And I know people that have lived that out. And the person that's most miserable is the person that's living that. When you stop forgiving others, I want you to look at Job, what he said. Job chapter 5, verse 2. Resentment kills a fool, and envy slays the simple. I want to hit the first part of that. Resentment kills a fool. The Bible defines a fool as what? The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Or the fool says in his heart, no God, I won't forgive. No God, I'm never going to get right with that person. They hurt me for the last time. Now, I got to tell you, in all honesty, there are some relationships you're better off to avoid. We forgive from our heart. We turn them free from what they've done to us. But you don't have to put yourself back in that same situation. How many people are on the earth right now? Anybody have a guess? There are 8 billion plus people. There's plenty of relationships that you can have. You don't have to go back to a hurtful relationship. But if you're going to have peace, you do have to forgive it. You can't just say, that person didn't hurt me, because they did hurt you. We have to confess that. But when you say to yourself, somebody's hurt you, and they come to try to make it right, and you say to them, it didn't hurt me at all. I didn't even notice. Folks, if it's breaking your heart, guess what? You notice. If it's stealing your joy on a constant basis, guess what? You did notice. They did hurt you. I love to write things out. I don't know about you, but when I got hurt, I like to write it out. Write down how I'm feeling, what's going on in my heart, and then present it to the Lord. And if I think it's going to do any good to present it to the other person, I'll do that too. But you have to present it to the Lord. Lord, my heart is breaking because of this. Lord, would you help me to forgive them? When you confess the truth of the matter, and then you ask the Lord for the help you need to forgive, you've come to the right place. Because he's forgiven you already, you have the ability now to forgive, and he'll give you all that you need for it. It's not reasonable to hold a grudge. I can't tell you how many people I know that have been angry with somebody for 20 years and is just eating that up. What's the other person remember about it? They don't even care. They don't even remember your name. That teacher that hurt you in the third grade or the fifth grade or whatever grade, do you think they remember you after 20, 30 years? They've forgotten it. They've gone on in life. But it's still eating you up. That gal that broke off the relationship when you were in the seventh grade, she probably hasn't thought of you in 30 years. But you're just eaten up with it. You still can't figure out, why did Sally break up with me? She never told me what was wrong. Forgive it. Forget it. Move forward. Now, forgetting, it's an interesting thing. We can forgive things, but we can't forget it. Forgiveness isn't a one-time deal. I got to tell you this because this is so important. When you forgive somebody, that memory is still in that peanut brain that we got. And all at once, that memory will come back. And the anger and the bitterness will come back. Some of you remember the name Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom was a lady that lived during the Second World War, and she was taken prisoner by the Germans. And her dad died in prison, and her older sister died in prison. And Corrie went to a pastor one time. She said, Pastor, I've forgiven so-and-so from my heart, with all my heart that I could, but every once in a while that memory comes back, and it'll just dwell with me. And the pastor said, Corrie, when I go outside to ring the bell for church, he says, as long as I keep pulling the rope, what goes on? The bell just keeps ringing. He said, Corrie, when those memories come back, let loose of the rope. Don't keep dwelling on it. Just let it go. Forgive it again in your heart and let it go. The sad thing is so many people keep pulling the rope. And we wonder, why can't I get past this? When the memory comes back, and it will, don't grab the rope. Give the Lord praise that he set you free for a week or a month or a year, and now it's back. Forgive it again if you have to, and move forward. Forgiveness is not a one-time thing. Some people think, because I forgave him a year ago, I shouldn't have a problem anymore. But the hurt's still there. When you totally forgive, that hurt will get less and less and less. And over time, it won't come to mind anymore. But it has to be dealt with continually. Some of the great theologians, some of you remember the Three Stooges? Three Stooges, I used to enjoy them when I was a kid, and the Three Stooges, Moe just kept hitting Curly on the chest. If you watched it, you always seen Moe go, whoo, and Curly go, whoa. Well, Curly got a great idea one time. He said, the next time Moe hits me, I'm going to have some dynamite on my chest, and I'm going to have it where when he hits me, it's going to explode, and it'll just blow his hand right off. What's the problem with that? If it blows his hand off, what's it going to do to Curly's chest, you know? And that's the way our anger and our bitterness is. I'm going to get even, but it's going to cost you dearly. It's not worth it. We think if I get even, then I'm going to feel better. No, you won't. It's going to destroy so much in your life. As long as you keep that bitterness and anger, you will never have the joy of the Lord. And there are many Christians I could tell you today that do not walk in the joy of the Lord. And it's not because they couldn't. It's because they won't release others that have hurt them. We need to learn how to do it. Resentment is not only not sensible, it's also totally unhelpful. In Job chapter 18, verse 4, You who tear yourself to pieces in your anger, is the earth to be abandoned for your sake? Or must the rocks be moved from their place? That first verse, you who tear yourself to pieces in your anger. Your anger is hurting yourself. Yes, you may make others miserable as well, but your anger at somebody else is going to hurt you far more than it hurts them. You've got to understand that. You can literally tear your heart apart wanting to get even with somebody else. If you can just learn the simple fact that every relationship you have, I don't care what it is, we get married, we think, what's the old saying? They lived happily ever after. Did they? I can tell you, there's a problem in every marriage I know. I don't know any that are perfect. But when two people walk with the Lord, they can forgive and forget. And it can be a wonderful marriage. Perfect? No. But wonderful. But when you got two people that won't forgive each other, no matter what it is, they just hold the grudges, you've got a miserable marriage. I can tell you marriages that have been miserable for 50 years. It doesn't have to be that way. Not only the new year can be wonderful, but your marriage can be wonderful. Your relationship with your children and your parents can be wonderful again if we'll just learn to forgive. When you carry a hurt from the past, when you carry a resentment or a grudge, you're never going to have good relationships, ever, with anybody. And it'll hurt everybody around you. In Job 21, verse 23, one person dies in full vigor, completely secure and at ease, well-nourished in body, bones rich with marrow. Another person dies in bitterness of soul, never having enjoyed anything good. Side by side, they lay in the dust, and worms cover them both. You've got a choice in this life. You can choose. I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm going to forgive others. I'm not going to hold resentment. I'm not going to stay bitter. And I'm never going to try to get even. And guess what kind of life you're going to have? You're going to have a contented, full, wonderful life. Or you can choose. I'm going to be bitter and angry and resentful. And if I can get even, boy, I'm going to. In fact, I'd like to do one better to that rascal. You're going to have a miserable life. In the end, you're going to die anyhow. Why not just choose to forgive? Why not choose to move on? I don't want this new year to be a year of sadness and bitterness and anger. I want to have some joy. I want to have some peace in my heart. And the only way that can happen is by forgiveness. Bitterness is like a cancer. It eats away everything good in your body. We've all seen people get cancer, and they go from 230 pounds down to like 80 or 90 pounds because the cancer just keeps eating. And that's the way anger and bitterness gets to a person. Not only should we forgive others that have wronged us because God has forgiven us, resentment will keep God from forgiving you. This is where it really gets personal. Our Lord Jesus, if you remember, in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, this is what Jesus said. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, and here's the important part, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Not only do people hurt us, but we hurt our Lord. I need restoration. I need it all the time. I'm a terrible person. I'm a sinner. I was born in sin. I'm going to sin until the day I die. I need forgiveness tomorrow. I'm probably going to need forgiveness today yet. But if I am angry at somebody, the Lord says he won't forgive me. Folks, I don't know about you, but I don't want to carry a burden of sin. I want it dealt with. I want to be able to go to my Lord, confess my sin, repent of it, and be forgiven, and feel the lightness of walking through life with no record of sin. You know, we are Baptist here, but I don't feel like a Baptist. I feel like a Christian. I do. I believe in Baptist doctrine, but John Wesley, some of you remember John Wesley was the father of, I won't say modern-day Methodism, because Methodist church has changed so much, but John Wesley was the founder of the original Methodist faith, and it was a sound faith, a wonderful faith. But a man came to John Wesley one day, and he said, John, I've got this person, and I am never, ever going to forgive them. And John Wesley smiled at the man, and he said, sir, I hope you never need forgiveness for sins. And the man said, what do you mean? He said, well, forgiveness of sin, the Bible only says it, even in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we do what? As we forgive those who trespass against us. Folks, suppose God forgave you on the basis of how you forgive others. Do you know that he does? That might be a sad awakening for somebody, but God forgives you based upon what you do with others. You can ask the Lord to forgive your sin all you want. You can confess your sin, but if you're still angry with your brother, it's not going to happen. You know, we don't just take one verse for a life verse and say, well, this is the verse I'm going to live on and forget all the rest. I agree. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe with all my heart that's true. But that's not the only verse that talks about forgiveness. Our God forgives us based upon how we forgive others. If you want to walk with a light load, then lighten the load of others. Forgive them. If you can talk to them about it and tell them how much it hurts you, that's a wonderful thing, and I advise that. But if talking to them is just going to make the problem worse, do the empty chair. Do whatever you have to do. But forgive others. And then you can approach the throne of grace with confidence, and you can say, Lord, as far as I know, I'm not holding anything against anybody. Lord, would you forgive me? And you'll have confidence that he will. We're going to carry this on next week, and we're going to find where the power to forgive comes from and how that power can be used by you. I just want to encourage you, keep your burdens light. Don't carry them from one time to the next.